That song we just sang really gets me going. Faith is the victory. And I want to talk about that tonight. I want you to look at the book of 1 John. We're going to look at chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Faith is the victory. Brothers and sisters, tonight you are the faithful. And I say that with all earnest. And I think that as the faithful in God, you're the people who put God first. And I hope that we're going to be looking tonight via the scriptures at some wonderful, marvelous, just some awesome, amazing things that we can apply to ourselves because of our faith. Things that I'm really hoping will be an encouragement. And as I think about it, because the power of God is it's the power of His love towards us. It's the power of His blood that has given us the victory. And I'm hoping that this will be the first lesson in a series. I've redesigned this, and I'm hoping it's better. And I'm really wanting to use this as a vessel to bring us even closer together than we already are. So having said that, we want to consider the power of faith. You know, in the first epistle, John writes these words, and I have them on the screen. John says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our faith is the victory. Jesus, of course, he's the one that makes that tangible. He's the one that makes that victory real. And this victory, it means that we have believed and obeyed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have what we need in our lives to defeat Satan. And by that same power, we're able to cast off or cast out the devil from in our lives. And in one day, we'll be putting on immortality. And death itself will be swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54. It doesn't get better than that. And that's all because of your faith. That phrase, this is the victory, means that we believe and obey Jesus. And therefore, one day we will indeed be caught up with all those who had faith before us, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and we will be up in those clouds with the Lord forevermore. This is the victory, means that one day all of us will be among those multitudes in heaven that just can't be counted. Revelation 7 and 9, we'll be with them standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb. We're going to see God's face finally. We're going to see Jesus Christ finally. We're going to have an understanding of a real relationship through the Spirit with the Holy Spirit that's there in heaven. Listen, beloved brothers and sisters, truly, we're all united by the one true faith that by the power of Jesus Christ leads us to victory over all the mishaps of the world. And my hope is that these studies if God grants us according to his riches and glory, that we'll be strengthened with the might through the Spirit that he has blessed us with. Ephesians chapter 3 and 16. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You know, when we think of the world, we've overcome the world. That's, you know, John's referring to this. The world is everything that strives to separate us from God. Every little thing. And it can be anything from a relationship to a possession that we treasure. It can be something that is so ambiguous as we're just too busy. We've been building and building and working. Anything and everything that separates from God, can separate us from God, the things of this world. And that's why we have to learn, do not love the world, neither the things in the world. That's what we're told. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and listen, it's the lust of the flesh, right? The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those are all the things, the basic things that are rooted in the world. That we don't want to love those things. We want to do the will of God. And when we do that, we abide with God forever. And listen, those three things, the lust of the flesh, humanism. The lust of the eyes, materialism. And the lust of the pride of life, rather, is individualism. All these isms, they're in the world and they are out there and they are being taught and pushed on young people. And so literally, those three things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they actually define our enemy. And listen, those things are stumbling stones to those who hold to the law that is not God's law. It could be anything. Paul talks about them in Romans chapter 9, verse 32. It's a stumbling block because they refuse to seek out the faith. They stumble because they're disobedient to the word of God. Peter says that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 8. And Solomon, he says that the way of the wicked is like darkness. And they don't know what makes them stumble. Proverbs 4 and 19. We are not like those people. We are the people who can sing that song, faith is the victory, with conviction. And we should. Get up every morning. Faith is the victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for doing everything that helps me to have the kind of faith that I need to have so that I don't fall into sin. The victory is the power that Jesus gave us through his blood, through the Spirit, to overcome sin. Victory. And so we think of that. And there are some things in the world. We look at anxiety, boredom, depression, despair, discontent, fear, grief, loneliness. These are powerful emotions. And they can be a result of some chemical imbalance in us, and it also can simply be a case of a spiritual condition because of a loss or something that's related to something we're doing that's sinful, an action per se, maybe something we think. But the bottom line is we can have victory over all of these things. You remember the cowardly lion, his motto, his mantra, if you will? He said, what have they got that I ain't got? You know what? We are Christians, people of faith. We live and breathe because of God. Everything we do, how we move, is all part of the victory in Christ Jesus. We have that spirit. We have something, and when the question isn't, you know, what do they got that we ain't got? It's the world out there who sees us walking in victory, who sees us living in a way that is different from them, but it's attracting to them because we're not living like the world. We're a people of faith. We have victory. And so the world's out there. They're the ones that are saying, what have they got that we ain't got? And of course, the answer is faith. Victorious faith. We have Jesus. And we should be excited about that. And our Lord, remember Matthew chapter 11, 28? Our Lord said, come. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7. Not only did he say come, but we're told through Peter, through the Holy Spirit, that our God says, cast all your cares on me. Because I love you, I care for you, and he's able to handle our troubles. So without argument, our Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, are infinitely more powerful than the devil, than anything going on in this world, and so we can have that victory that he's talking about. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Different translation. Same message. We have victory because of what he did. And yes, there's hindrances in the world, right? But listen, again, beloved, faithful. In Jesus, we have peace. Even though in the world we have tribulation, we have peace. And we can rejoice. We should be rejoicing. Whether we're alone or together, we should be rejoicing because our Lord Jesus has overcome the world. And he did it for us. John 16 and 33. And as I speak to my brothers and sisters here tonight, to all of us, I'm speaking to myself. This victory belongs to you. The victory belongs to all who will believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. And together we give thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ for that victory, 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Faith is the victory. Every time, faith is the victory. And I guess, again, there's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be conditions that face us and we have to deal with them. There's always going to be hindrances and the devil's always going to seek to do that. He's going to seek to hinder us, to make us trip and fall and try to sand away our relationship with Jesus, our victor. But you know what? Jesus is the light of the world. And as a result, we have in us, the light of the world. And you know what that means? We don't walk around in the dark like the world does, and we don't stumble all over the place like the world does. And so Satan really, it's a moot subject. We have faith that is the light of the world. And we know that God is greater. Right? According to John, victory overcomes the world. And that requires faith in Jesus. And it's important for us to understand that. We think about faith. Faith in general is, you know, is defined by the Easton Dictionary. Faith is a general persuasion of the mind that to a certain statement is true, that a certain statement is true. It's the primary idea of trust. You know, the Greek word for faith is the word pistis or pistuo, I believe. And it means I believe, I trust. Same word. But listen, the Hebrew writer told us what faith is. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And he goes on to say, by it. By what? By faith. You think about this. And I want you to think about the word substance. You know, faith requires substance. And substance is a tangible word. It's a realization. When you think about this word realization, it's an act of becoming fully aware of something or a fact. We are fully aware. Our faith has taken us leaps and bounds out of this world, I hope. And we have this reality, this substance that faith is made up of. If you have a glass and the glass is empty, it means there's no substance in the glass. The word substance implies something physical. It could be water or coffee or something in a glass. You know, it could be what your car's made out of, your high. Substance implies something that is not intangible. It is tangible. It can be seen. And I want you to try to get this. When we think about this, it is evidence. It says the evidence of things not seen. You know, in the NIV, that word substance is translated as confidence. Faith is the confidence. In the ESV, it's faith is the assurance. In the NLT, the New Living Translation, it is the faith is the reality. In the NASB, it's the certainty. The bottom line, it's something that we can understand. You know, you have your parents. You weren't there when you were, when you were born, you don't know who were there. You don't know. Your parents may not really be your parents, but you know they are. Because you trust them. Because there's evidence. You know, you look like them, you talk like them, apple doesn't fall far, all those things. You know they're your parents. Based on evidence in the family. And such trust requires a response toward your parents. Love, compassion, obedience. And God is your Father, Jesus Christ, His Son is your Savior. And there is substance that proves He is who He said He was. And so our faith is not blind, it's not ambiguous, it's not something that that people take that evidence of things not seen. It says evidence of things not seen. In other words, you can see them through the evidence. That's what produces faith. It's a strong conviction based on the evidence. We believe that Jesus is who he is because of the evidence. We believe that he is who he claimed to be because of the evidence. Peter said, "Now men of Israel, these words, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man attested by God, who you saw by miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Acts 2 and 22. Evidence. Those people on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, they didn't come forward because of some fairy tale. They came forward because they, oh yeah, we saw the miracles. We saw the wonders. We heard the teaching. We know he was crucified. We know he was dead and buried. And the evidence is telling us, it's right in our face. This Jesus was alive after his death. He's the same one who did all the miracles, signs, and wonders. The same one that we turned our backs on, and we need to come back to Jesus. That is truly when the Son of God lives in us. Remember what the centurion said when that they realized the stone's gone and all the shaking of the earth and everything that caused the quake and men passed out in Matthew chapter 27 at verse 54, they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Why did they say that? Evidence. He is the one who intercedes in heaven on our behalf. He is the one. We read in Hebrews 7 and 25 that, you know, he's able to the utmost to intercede to those who and come to God through him, since he lives to make intercession for them, for us. That's Jesus. And so he's there. He is who he claims to be by proof, by evidence. He proved that he is truly the Son of the living God. Even the unbelievers professed it. You know, think about this. What Jesus did and is doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 3. Christ died for us according to the scriptures. That's what he did. Now I want you to look at the book of Romans chapter 5 concerning what Jesus did. And listen, chapter 5. You look at this and see at verse 6, "For when we were still without sin," or without strength, "in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We have the victory. And why? Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. When we think about that death, it was truly propitiation for our sins, a sacrifice for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. Remember that? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and 5. Victory. Because of what he did. Because of what he did. We also know that Jesus as the Son of God, made certain promises. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That he alone can provide eternal life. Right? No one comes to the Father but through me, he said. We know that Jesus has revealed the Father to us. He is the only way to the Father. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. Why? Because the Father and I are one. And he says, from now on, he's telling his disciples, you know him and have seen him. He revealed the Father in heaven to those disciples. What a powerful thing that is. Imagine how they thought of victory. They professed faith in Jesus Christ because there was substance there. Many of them died because of the substance of faith, which produced the evidence. For us today, things not seen. Evidence. Witnesses that saw Jesus after his death. The 12, the 500. Evidence. Those who saw him walk upon the water. Evidence. Those who heard him say, peace be still, and stop the storms and the waves of the sea. Evidence. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. When the Hebrew writer said faith is the substance of things and the evidence of, he's telling us there's something tangible and the evidence proves it. What did Peter say in John chapter 6? When Jesus says, will you go away too? John chapter 6, 68 and 69. Everybody else went away. They didn't have victory. They walked away from Jesus. We didn't. You didn't. You're like Peter who said, where will we go? Lord, you have the words of life. And so we're not the hypocrites in the world. There's plenty of those who teach lies about Jesus, who don't really do what he said. We're not those ones that one day he's going to say, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? We're people of faith, and we're taking part of that victory. We're those who have built or are building our house upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, Matthew 7 and 24. Those rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow, they beat on our house and it's not falling. Why? Because it's built upon the rock, the victory of Jesus Christ. The wind and the rain and the floods represent all the troubles in life. And let's not forget that Jesus calmed the storms, calmed the sea. That's faith. That's substance. We can trust in that. Many people believe that faith is something blind, and they're wrong. It is a true conviction, a strong conviction about things unseen, but there are solid reasons for the conviction. There's solid reasons why we believe. I believe that George Washington existed. Why? Because there's solid reasons. There is substance to the fact that he lived. And I believe in Jesus Christ for the very same reasons. Of course, so much more. Some people believe that faith is some gift from God just for a select few. That's Calvinism. And it is true that faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. That is a gift of God. No problem. Right? Paul said, I say through the grace that is given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. No problem. But here, while faith owes its unlimited source to God, it is available to all people. God said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's our faith. So, you know, John 20, 30, and 31. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, in the book of John, actually. But they are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in him through his name. Listen, that is our victory. That's our victory. Do we believe? We read. We think. We meditate. We ponder. And that leads us to this wonderful faith. You know, we have the Bible for a reason. Because through it, we have faith. Through this, God has, through his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and 3. We have this for a reason. It's not to collect dust. It's not a showpiece in the house to say, look, I'm a Christian. Not to be put on a table. It's to be consumed. Because that's what builds faith. That's what builds faith. We need to be like that psalmist in Psalm 1 many times. The one who meditates on God's word day and night. We need to be the ones that are diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. A people who are not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word of truth is everything that we need to have victory in this life and victory in the next. Look over at the book of Psalm 19 at verse 10. And Psalm 19 and verse 10. I love this. More to be desired are they than gold. What? His word, his law, his statutes. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Our God has given us this little book. And when I say little, I'm talking about the physical size. Because in this little book is everything that pertains to life and godliness. Think about that. The psalmist says, your way is very pure. Your servant loves it. Psalm 119 and 40. Your servant, this book has purpose. Remember what John said, these things were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that, you also have victory. And brothers and sisters, and you know, I don't think it could possibly be more valuable, anything in the world, than to have victory in this world over sin and over death. Victory is ours. Sometimes you don't feel like you have victory. And sometimes it's a real struggle day to day. Sometimes your thoughts take you captive. Sometimes events in life. But listen, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. And that was a promise from God's Son, God in the flesh. Any of us today, none of us are so strong that we can live our entire lives and never have sinned. Because if we could do that, we don't need Jesus. I need Jesus. So if you do have something you'd like to deal with today, private, public, doesn't matter, we're here to help. And if there were anyone here today that desires to become a child of God, to accept Jesus Christ and confess Him here before this assembly and to be baptized into Christ so that they are able to put on Christ and therefore have the victory that one day will be taken up into heaven, and then you can do that now today also. Whatever your need is, if you have one, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
When Jesus comes,